starting today, we must pick ourselves up,
pick myself up,
dust ourselves off,
dust myself off,
and begin again the work of remaking America.
Start all over again.
First you don't succeed, dust yourself off and try again.
Reinvention. It's not just for people with parachutes anymore. Barack Obama talked about reinvention and remaking ourselves in America as the economic recession and downturn takes hold. Well, he reinvented himself. He was once a senator. Now he's the president. Well, following in the Obama footsteps, there are millions of Americans who have lost their jobs or who anticipate losing their jobs who have to get from there to here. From what I once was to what I can and will be. It's a trajectory that follows unemployment that doesn't necessarily mean you have to be laid off to think about reinventing yourself. Joining us now are Gail Ambrosius, who's a chocolatier in Madison, Wisconsin. Gail, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
And in the studio, you heard his voice at the top of the hour, Mike Gill, who is an author and Starbucks employee. You used to be a creative director at an ad firm.
That's right.
You were in corporate America.
I was very much in the heart of the beast.
And in the best thing that ever happened to you, you told me at the top of the hour, was
getting fired.
Getting fired. All right. So you got to think in this way to be able to reinvent yourself. Gail, what was the best thing that ever happened to you in your career?
Getting my pink slip.
And when
I was laid off
about five years ago
from the state of Wisconsin. I was an employee at the Department of Natural Resources, and I was a cartographer.
A map maker, right?
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Now, how do you go from cartographer to chocolatier, and what were the moments when you thought to yourself, my gosh, what's an unemployed map maker going to do in Wisconsin?
Well, I kind of fell in love with the idea of making chocolate way back when I was 17. But, you know, I kind of let go of that idea because people thought, well, that's not a really good job, or you've got to get something very stable and secure like a state government job. So I went to school and I got the job, but I never let go of that idea. And when I got my pink slip, I thought, yay, here's my chance. Now I can be the chocolatier I've always wanted to be.
Now, of course, that was 5 years ago. For you, Mike, it was 10 years ago,
yes.
Right? Very different economy now.
Yes.
Do you have any words for people who are laid off and getting pink slips and maybe not jumping for joy in this economic environment?
Well, I think it is a terrible shock to be fired, especially like myself. I define myself through my job, and I burst into tears literally the day I got fired. But I think my advice would be to let that go, because it was only when I gave up my feeling of my previous self as this top advertising guy that I was able to move on in my life. And I think the key thing is to just say, okay, I'm fired, have a big cry, shake your fist at the universe, and then get on with your life, because forward motion, it works. At least for me, I found this job where I'm so much happier today than I ever was in the corporate world.
You know, Mike, this is Farai. Yeah. I've been sitting in for Adora Udoji, who's on maternity leave. Anyway, one thing that strikes me about what you just said is that it sounds awfully like some of the Buddhist teachings, that you can become overly defined with, you know, with any number of worldly things. It sounds as if you're someone who's willing to shed your skin in order to move on. But a lot of people cling to these identities that we've built up over years of work.
Yeah, no, I think that's a very you make a very wise, I think, and profound point. By the way, it took me years to get there, because you know, but I think that that's the key, which is you have to shed all those feelings of defining yourself by, you know, I was still dressing up in Brooks Brothers suits long after I was ever going to get back into that executive suite. And so it's only when I gave it up and said, okay, I'll wear a green apron and serve coffee to others and serve others, because I think what we forget in life is that we aren't our jobs. We are people who have a life. You know, in America, we always say, what do you do to people? But it's actually who you are. So look inside your own heart. That's one of my, in my book, I say one of the key things is to follow your own heart. Touch your heart and say, what do you love to do? And in my case, I love serving others and making them happy through just the simple things in life, even cleaning a toilet, rather than trying to sit in these crazy meetings I used to do.
All right, Mike, can I call you Yoda? let's do some of the numbers here. Gail, you went from a salary of what to what you're making now, and how did you deal with that with your other responsibilities?
Oh, boy. Well, I was a single mom at the time. My son was in high school, and I've now got him into college, and I've paid for 2 years of college so far.
Whoa.
So I'm pretty proud of myself.
Not bad. For you, Mike, yeah. What do you do for people who get fired who have kids and they've got tuitions to pay?
It's a huge sort of traumatic shock.
I mean, you took an 80% pay cut,
yes,
right? At least.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that I had to do was to lower my overhead just in a very simple, mundane way. You know, I used to buy these $3,000 suits. In the last 5 years, I bought one pair of khaki pants and two black shirts. And that's my overhead. Oh, the other thing is, the big surprise, John, was that by lowering my overhead, getting rid of all that stuff, I thought a big house was essential and a big lifestyle and all that stuff. I'm so much happier now. I have my dining room table is like a picnic, white plastic picnic table, $53. In other words, you adapt, and guess what? The good news is we don't maybe need all that fancy stuff.
Well, the economy needs the economic activity, that's for sure, if you were going to believe the Treasury Secretary. Gail, is downsizing a joyful endeavor?
It's kind of scary at first, but I think you, like he said, you have to really look at what's important to you and, you know, really prioritize your life. I realized, you know, my son was my priority and he was my motivation for succeeding in my business. And it is. It's all about reinventing yourself. You know, nothing stands still. We're in a dynamic world. You have to adapt.
And your book, Mike, I should mention, is How Starbucks Saved My Life, A Son of Privilege Learns to Live Like Everyone Else. Is it true that you feel more bonded to everyone else by doing the job that you're doing at Starbucks?
That's, John, that's another big gift to me, because if I just continued in my corporate life and ended up dying, say, in that, I would have believed that, you know, I deserved all that stuff because I was so smart. And when I got in Starbucks, you know, I realized, boy, you know, I wasn't overqualified. I was almost underqualified because I met people from way different kinds of backgrounds, who didn't have all the advantages I had with my Yale education and everything, who were way outperforming me.
Well, I hear the excitement. I totally hear the excitement in your voice. Gail, what's the best thing about your chocolate?
Well, I think it's similar. It's connecting with people. You know, I'm making this product that puts smiles on faces. You know, people buy it to celebrate joyous occasions, just to make themselves feel good. I think, you know, we all could use a little more happiness, and it's just really a pleasure to be able to deliver that.
Well, from map maker to chocolatier, Gail Ambrosius from Madison, Wisconsin, thanks so much for that journey.
You're welcome.
And Mike Gill, author and Starbucks employee in our studio, from ad exec to a Starbucks employee, from a latte server.
Right.
Mike, thanks so much for being with us.